This podcast is for entertainment purposes only and does not substitute for professional medical advice. Please seek a medical professional or healthcare provider if you're seeking any medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Thanks, everyone.
Before we start today's episode, we're going to be talking about our new sponsor.
Yes.
And this is Freed AI.
Have you heard of Freed AI?
I have. And it sounds like an amazing product.
Yes.
Because Lord knows that I spend all my time doing my notes.
All the time.
And my charting and documentation and coding and everything. And then I get frustrated when other people don't do the same thing.
Exactly. So, yeah. And then you're not spending enough time with the patient or at home because you're like trying to catch up.
Yes. I'm always just stuck on charts. And that's that. I really try not to be looking at my computer when I'm talking to a patient. But it's really hard because once that patient leaves the room, I have to sit down and chart everything or go back home. Pajama party.
Yep.
Right? And then in bed, start charting. And I'm constantly like, did they say this? Or they did say that? So then I kind of summarize everything. But
yeah,
it's so nice to just have something that literally transcribes everything in the moment before the patient even walks out of the room. Have your documentation ready to go.
Exactly. That's amazing. And I remember also from my husband when he was working at a clinic, he would be back home and just spend so much time just charting away with his little like notes and then putting them into the EMR and stuff like that. So, which is great because when I spoke with Freed AI, it kind of came from that story where her husband, his name is Ered, he's a computer engineer, and he created this for Freed AI because his wife was just spending so much additional time, you know, trying to chart away and keep up with the workload and whatnot. So it's a great product. It's being used right now with more than 12,000 clinicians in every specialty. There's over 1 million notes that are written each month using Freed. Of course, it's HIPAA compliant, so you don't have to worry about protecting your patient's safety, which is obviously very important. Yes.
And also, it works as a scribe.
Exactly.
Right? And there are a lot of clinics and hospitals that use scribes. However, I can say through experience, it's very hard even with a scribe because at the end of the day, you're not the person writing that note. So maybe something that a patient said might be transcribed by that person in a different way.
Right.
So it's really difficult because then sometimes you have to double back to fix those notes.
Makes sense.
So more time. And then also, it was always a bad day when my scribe would call out or quit on me.
Which obviously would not happen here.
Exactly. And also, I will say as well, which I think is brilliant, is that not only does it cover across all specialties, but it covers different languages.
Oh, yes.
So for me, I have a high Spanish-speaking patient population.
Yes.
So I was always worried that even if we had one of these systems, I wouldn't really get the benefits of it because half of my visits, or more than half, almost 100% of my visits are mostly in Spanish.
Yeah.
Right? So then I would say, what's the point in having these things or these systems that can transcribe if they can't even transcribe in Spanish? It's amazing because Freed AI can work through various languages. So it's not just Spanish, English, you know, they have
French,
multiple others, which is amazing.
It's wonderful. I mean, it just, obviously it just takes off so much of that burden of like, and so much of that stress of like, you know, okay, let me try to remember that. Let me chicken scratch that so I don't forget that important thing to put in their chart afterwards or whenever I could get to it. It's a wonderful system. It takes less than 30 seconds to get it up and running. So it's not something that you have to spend so much time learning and trying to get used to it and whatnot.
Very user-friendly.
Very user-friendly, easy to use.
I can say personally, every time that someone introduces a new system to me. I'm like,
of course.
Here we go. You're gonna have to sit through a whole entire day of training, and it's gonna like back me up into my day. And no, it's very user friendly.
Not the case here. So that on its own is a huge benefit as well, just to get it up and running.
I also think it's fantastic that this came from two people that are experienced with this charting and the world of charting and how much time it can take away from your personal life. So it's very tailored, and it doesn't come from someone that has never been in a clinic, has never done charting before. And I think that that is a perspective that is so important, and it's really unique to Freed AI.
Absolutely. So go ahead and give it a try. You can try 10 notes for free, and after that it costs $99 a month. But you could also try Freed AI using our code FUNNY50. You would have to go to getfreed.ai. And so let me just spell that out for you. GETFREED.AI and user code FUNNY50 for $50 off your first month.
And trust me, it is worth it.
It's wonderful. Give that a shot. And now back to the episode.
Hi.
Hey.
Celsius is kicking in.
Hell yeah.
And like four Snickers bars. I just had.
She's like,
the Halloween one.
Caffeine and sugar rush right now.
Yeah,
to get us through.
At the end of the episode, just gonna like see me crash.
Anyway, so welcome back, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. Today, we are continuing our little series that we hadn't done
in a little bit. Yeah, the debunking series.
Yes, we are at part three now.
Yes, so basically this series is kind of just debunking like very simple medical things.
Like little myths.
Yeah, little myths that you're like, is that true? Does that really work?
Yeah, like old wives tales.
Does that really happen?
Yeah. Stuff like that.
So this is part three. Check out our parts one and two.
Yep. So go ahead and start with the first one.
All right. So does cold temperature actually cause joint pain?
Okay, what do you think?
If I can get a dollar for every single time someone has mentioned this.
Especially like our parents' generation too. Yeah. They love this one.
Yeah. I think that this one is a little bit complicated. It's not so straightforward.
Yeah.
So the idea is that when temperatures drop, joint pain worsens. So people with conditions like arthritis, general joint discomfort, often say that they feel more stiffness, swelling, and discomfort during the winter months. But science says it's a little bit more complicated. So where did this belief even come from? The belief has likely been around for a really long time, like centuries.
Yeah, yeah.
So ancient physicians and folk medicine practitioners linked cold weather to increasing pain, possibly because people noticed their joints were more bothersome during the colder months.
Yeah.
But before modern medicine could explain joint pain, people really relied on observation and anecdotes. So cold temperatures became the easy culprit, right? Because discomfort felt more pronounced in the winter. Can you imagine? It's just like winter's coming around. Like for me as a pediatrician, I'm like, winter's coming. That means everyone and their mother is going to have cough and runny nose.
That's what I was going to say.
Everyone. Yeah. Like, it gets to a point in clinic where I'm just like, oh my God, I cannot believe that I have another patient with cough and runny nose.
You have to have like a super immune system at this point, though.
No, I don't. So actually, I get sick during these months because the number of kids that I see that are sick increases. So obviously, my risk of getting sick increases. So the month of September, you know what I mean? Like, with no voice. The winter month of September and October, I was sick the entire time.
Yeah, I mean,
and now Nora is sick.
Well, Amara just got over hand, foot, mouth. Yeah, I hate that. And then I got it. Oh. And as an adult, remember that I was sick last, not this last week, but the week. Death.
Yeah.
Death. I was like, what the is this?
Yeah.
I hadn't felt that sick since the first like COVID that I had back in 2020.
Yeah. Terrible.
It was like I couldn't swallow.
Yeah.
I had to force myself to swallow because I got the sores in my throat from the hand foot. I'd never got it on my hands or my feet. Oh my God, it was so bad. Amor got it pretty bad afterwards, but he only got it like on his lip. And then of course the classic hands foot, like maybe 2 or 3 days after me.
Yeah.
But I was, at least he was running around like, you know, playing or whatever.
Julie's out for the cam.
Death.
Yeah.
I couldn't get out of bed. Like the fevers, I don't suffer from fevers. Like, it's hard for me to get a fever regardless of what cold I get or whatever. Fever every 4 hours.
Jeez.
It was horrific.
That is pretty terrible.
Horrible.
Fevers itself just make you feel really
Oh, my creepy. God. And then in the middle of the night, I would wake up in the shakes. And then it was
terrible.
These months suck, man.
Yeah. So for me, the winter months means cough and cold season.
Yeah, I mean,
right. And then now, so for these, for these folk, like physicians, colder months, people's gonna like start complaining about pain the entire time.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
Why did it become a myth? So again, like we were saying, cold temperatures make the muscles kind of tighten and also contract, which can make it really hard to move, or at least a little bit less comfortable. So it's possible that people mistakenly blame the cold weather itself for increasing pain. Also, people are less active during the colder months, leading to kind of joint stiffness. So if you already have some joint issues, less movement can make it worse, right? That's why people with arthritis, we actually say exercise is actually going to help you. Yes, at the beginning, you're going to feel pain, but in the long run, you are going to suffer from less pain.
An object in motion stays in motion.
Yes, exactly. This was obviously what created the illusion that the cold is to blame for it. So now, is there any truth to it? Actually, for the first time in our thinking, our debunking,
I think
there actually is some truth in it, but not the way that most people like actually relate it to be. So studies have found that atmospheric pressure changes may influence joint pain. So when a cold front comes through, it often brings lower pressure, so pressure goes down. And some theories suggest that this change can actually cause tissues around the joints to expand slightly, leading to an increased pain or discomfort. However, the effect is like really minimal and not everyone experiences it, but the cold weather itself doesn't actually make that joint worse, but maybe it's the influence on your body's perception of it,
right,
or those pressure changes. Another interesting factor is perception. So people expect joint pain in the winter, right, and there's a tendency to focus on the discomfort when you are already anticipating it.
100%.
So if you're already thinking that you're going to have joint pain, trust me, it's going to be there.
It's kind of like a placebo effect at that point.
It's like the law of attraction, right? If you think about it enough, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So you're manifesting.
Cold front. Manifesting a cold front.
Why?
Because it's so hot. It's October and it's 80s. In the 80s, it's ridiculous.
I love Miami weather.
Oh, God, no.
Sweating.
I want to be an ill. No.
I'm just kidding.
I want to be surrounded by pumpkins and a nice warm jacket.
No, I think 60s is like a good temperature.
Yeah, that's delicious.
Yeah, I just love that. I don't want anything lower, you know.
I'm okay with lower. I just remember, guys.
When I have to pull out my parka, that's bad.
This all reminds me
of our New York trip.
Slight deviation. Well, of when we lived in New York.
Yeah.
And we started watching the temperature like started going down and down because there was like some massive cold front coming in out of nowhere. Oh my God.
I didn't even come prepared.
She had to like borrow.
I had to borrow Julie's stuff. Yeah.
You were not happy.
No, I was not happy. I was a very awful person. I am an awful person during the winter. Not anymore here because we don't have those kind of winters.
Yeah.
But here's what I always say. Fall is actually not a season. It's 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's in Miami? Yeah.
No, even up there. In October, I was already wearing my North Face jacket.
Oh, I was too, but
in the freezing. And then what's worse is that it's rainy season. So
it's rainy season here.
Well, no, but over there, imagine cold and rainy.
Yeah.
It is the worst mix. Okay. The worst mix. So I was in a bad mood from October. All the way up until May, because even in May, we were still having blizzards.
Yeah. Yeah.
So fall is, and then it just like, it's crazy. It's like spring for like maybe a month, and then that's it. Detrimental hot summer until fall, 2 weeks, leaves fall off the leaves, and that is it. You are in a miserable winter for the rest of the time. At least that is my perception of it when I lived there for 4 years.
Totally your perception.
No, it is what actually is, because I went to Chicago now.
Uh-huh.
And it was really cold. And now we're going for November, for Thanksgiving. That's supposed to be like plano fall, right? Like plano pumpkins, leaves. No, girl. I already saw the weather. It's like 30 degrees at nighttime. So I'm not excited. I am excited, but I'm not excited for the weather. And then, you know, I'm like, sometimes I like go and I'm like, do I miss this? And then I really think about it and I'm like, no, not really.
God, you are just like Mario. There's no convincing Mario. And I'm just like, but this is just like one season off the
road. No, and in Philly?
Yeah, I know.
Sometimes it would get so cold in Philly that my bones hurt. I had
that. There we go.
No, but that was like bone pain. Like my face hurt.
Oh, yeah. I got once like all of this burnt from like a blizzard
or it was
really cold. Yeah, in New York. It was pretty bad. I was peeling for like a whole week.
So I will sip on my chestnut praline latte
in ABB
here water. In Miami, not over there.
As you're sweating.
only people in Florida do that, like drink hot drinks in hot summer.
Yeah, I drink hot all the time. I don't care if it's 100 degrees.
I'll have my faces with iced coffee, but most of the time it's hot.
I don't like iced coffee.
Just in the morning, it's just nice to have a hot cup of coffee.
Oh, no, yeah. There's no way that I could do something iced in the morning. It's not happening.
Yeah, yeah. All right, okay. So, big tangent. Anyways, back to this. So, that perception that we were talking about. Mm-hmm. So, if you anticipate it, it's going to happen. So, people might notice the pain more and think about the weather and all of that to, like, cause that when really it's probably not bad at all.
Yeah.
And that it could be more about how they're just interpreting what their body is feeding.
Right.
Feeling, not feeding.
Anyway, so what about modern science and all of this debunking, right, of this one? Studies haven't found a direct link between cold temperatures and worsening joint pain. The American College of Rheumatology says that weather does not cause joint pain to worsen. If anything, it's more about the weather might limit the activity, like she had mentioned. So in fact, regular exercise, whether inside or bundled up outside, can ease joint stiffness. And that goes for every season, okay? It's not only in the weather. Wow, in the winter. So what can you do about this? So people who feel their joints becoming stiffer during like cold weather can just try to stay warm, layer up, use heating pads. Warm baths are very, very helpful too, just to loosen up some joint, you know, the joint pain. And you could add some Epsom salt into that if you're doing bath. That will help out as well. But just keep in mind that joint pain is caused by underlying conditions, not just the temperature itself. So in conclusion, debunked. The cold weather worsens. It's a myth that the cold weather worsens joint pain.
But it's more perception
than actual reality. Just minor influences from the barometric pressure, like she had mentioned. But it's truly just so minor that it's like probably indecipherable.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So while it's a very widely held belief, it just doesn't hold up under like scientific scrutiny. So for joint pain, keep active and stay warm, no matter the weather.
It's so funny. I was just thinking to myself, I never had a heater in my car the 4 years that I was in med school.
Oh, that's right. You were with the crayon car.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
That's my Volkswagen.
Yeah.
There's a few people in this world. The people that smell the crayons and the people that don't.
I smelled the crayons.
I did not.
Immediately. I still remember it.
Yeah. I never had a heater in that car.
Not even like a blowing heater.
No. So when I went here, I had my chair, like my seat, my driver's seat, still had the functioning heated seats.
Yeah.
So I would go outside, I would turn on my car, right? Like 20 minutes, literally before I even would brush my teeth and shower in the morning.
No wonder you hated it so bad.
Yeah, I would go turn on my car and I would just let it go, you know? And then I would crank up the heated seats.
Oh my God.
And then I would get into the car. You know, from the cold, I would like run in. So I was like super warm. And also that heater was also broken. So it would like light my butt on fire. Okay. And literally there was some areas that I felt like was burning my skin. I had a heating blanket in the car. I would put the heating blanket on top. And that's what I would be able to drive my car in the winter.
No wonder you fucking hated it.
No, my friends hated it too. My friends never wanted to get in my car and drive.
Of course not. It's frigid in there.
Yeah, it was freezing. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And only my seat worked. Like the rest of the seats didn't work. So I was the only one that was semi-warm.
You were driving around with a heated blanket on.
Yep.
I'm surprised you wouldn't fall asleep. I would fall asleep.
No,
it was all nice and cuddly.
It was all nice and warm in my seat with a warming blanket. But trust me, it was like frigid cold. Like,
oh my God.
Because I didn't have a heater. Everything felt cold except for my butt and my legs and like my lap.
Oh my God, that crayon car, man.
I made it though.
I know, survived. Clearly.
Here I am. All right, Jules, what's our next one?
All right, the next one. We're just going to stick with the cold weather since winter's coming and all that stuff. That's kind of going to be like the theme of today, if you haven't noticed. So next one is cold weather causes a common cold.
Yeah, no, I definitely say this is just viruses. It's virus season.
But you know.
Yeah.
You know. I could hear my mom saying it right
now.
I could hear her saying it, screaming at me. My
lady almost had a heart attack when it was just breezy in the mornings and Nora walked out without a sweater on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
She was like, you're not gonna put a sweater on her? And then yeah. I'm like, no, it's like beautiful weather right now.
Right. But no, it's like a slight little breeze. It's a little bit of a change in temperature. Yeah. It's a little cooler than 80 degrees. It's like immediate comic cold. No. Anyway, so this is very common with at least our parents and people of my parents' generation and whatnot. So first things first. So common cold is caused by, say it again,
viruses,
not temperature. Specifically, most colds are caused by rhinoviruses, which are a type of virus that infects the nose and the throat. These viruses spread through droplets. When someone's infected, sneezes, coughs, or touches the surface you later touch, then you get it. So no matter how cold or warm it is, if you come in contact with the virus, you're at risk. Guys, let's remember that from, like, unfortunately, the 2020 of it all. Like, it was freaking summer and you were still getting COVID. It had nothing to do with how hot or cold it was outside. So same thing. Where did the idea come from? The idea that cold weather causes a common cold seems to have originated centuries ago. So before modern science, people tried to make sense of the disease or diseases based on what they observed. They noticed that more people got sick during the colder months, and naturally they made the connection cold weather equals colds. But there's a lot more to that theory. So
yeah. So why did this myth kind of originate? Well, seasonal timing. Colds do tend to be more common in the fall and winter, but it's not because of the temp again. It's just because people spend more time indoors, a lot of holidays and things like that. It's just more contact when it's cold weather outside. But more indoor time means closer contact with others, making it really easier for the viruses to spread. And then runny noses, cold air, it's kind of a common theme that when your nose runs, it's more chilly outside. So cold air can actually irritate the lining of your nose and make it produce a lot more mucus. So people used to think that runny nose was the sign of an infection, but really it's probably just your body trying to warm up and humidify the air before it reaches your lungs. Lower immune response is also another thing. So there's some evidence that colder, drier air might slightly weaken your immune response. But the key word here is slightly. The temperature does not directly cause the cold. It just makes you a little bit more susceptible to get sick. Okay. So why did this become a myth? Humans love patterns. Yeah. And it's really easy to see why colder weather and common colds were linked when larger number of people getting sick during the colder months. And we start kind of, you know, drawing the connections, even though those connections are
false.
Wrong. So this might have gotten passed down from generation to generation. And before you know it, it's just like common knowledge. And, oh, yeah, it's cold or flu season. That's what we call it, just literally because it's the colder ones. Even here in Miami, it is cold and flu season, and we are not in cold
literally weather. 85 degrees right now outside. And we just got out of like 2 weeks of having colds.
Exactly.
So, no.
Yeah. And then, you know, plus people also used to kind of like bundle up and avoid getting chilled. And then because it felt like they were doing, you know, the right thing to prevent the illness, and then some cultural reinforcements and some advice from your elders, you may have kind of like associated this myth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, is there any truth to it? So again, kind of like what we were saying, this is like a little bit more complicated, but at the end of the day, no, it's not right.
It's viruses.
So yeah, so one, indoor crowding again, people spending time together, it's cold outside, you want to be outside, you want to be indoors, warm, right? But that means that you're going to be next to other people or more often, a lot more contact.
Do you imagine way back then when there were no air conditioners and then
or
people,
TV.
Yeah, but then again, like there's no air circulation in these places,
yeah, exactly.
Right? So then people were just like congregated together.
A perpetual airplane.
Breathing, yeah. Breathing each other and stuff like that. So it's like perfect for like
exactly.
perfect
for
spreading.
People to spread, yeah. And then drier air, again, that irritation in that lining of your nose. So all of that, you know, it just tends to just irritate, and everyone is just full of mucus all the time. So just runny nose all the time. And then also sometimes, you know, like not mentioned here, but like just going off, like sometimes the change in seasons can trigger allergies.
Exactly.
Another thing that gives you
more runny
and cough. So yeah, but here's the important part. It's the virus, right? Viruses cause cold symptoms, unless you're talking about something that's completely non-infectious, like that irritation that we were talking about, or allergies. So if you're not exposed to a cold virus, then you won't catch cold, even if you're standing outside in the freezing temperatures.
Yep. Okay. You'll get hypothermia, but that's not a virus.
Exactly. Exactly. So fun fact to wrap it up, there are some studies that show that people that were placed in extremely cold temperatures on purpose without jackets, hats, or gloves, okay,
and they did not get sick, while the others who stayed nice, warm indoors caught colds, but only when exposed to the virus. So the takeaway is that it doesn't matter about temperature. Okay. Yeah. It just matters about what increases your risk to get sick.
Yeah.
With a virus.
Exactly.
Conclusion. Cold water does not directly cause common cold. Debunked. The virus is caused.
I need to get like one of those buttons. Like,
I know. Maybe we should get it for this series.
Yes.
And then more colds happen in winter because you're inside more. And then don't worry about bundling up to prevent anything. It's not going to make a difference. Just bundle up if you're freezing. Okay. It's more for comfort.
Okay.
Have you seen in, I know it's pretty common, and I had seen it like, I think last year when we were talking about something similar to this, about like in Denmark and friggin' Nordic countries like that, that they leave babies outside in the stroller. Mm-hmm. You've seen that, right?
I have seen it.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and it's actually a common thing.
My mother would have a heart attack.
Yeah, I mean, the babies are bundled.
Oh, yeah, they're like, super bundled, but it's frigid outside.
But it's like it's for them, it's like healthier in a
right,
sense.
Right, right. Apparently. Yeah.
And maybe like, it's that. Maybe it's supposed to be like fresh air and sunlight is supposed to be like actually very beneficial.
That's what I'm saying. While they go inside to do whatever it is that they're going to do, and then they leave the baby outside in the carriage, that you know, in the stroller.
Like that gives me anxiety. I'll just say because we grew up here in the United States.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
I would never.
Oh my God. I cannot. I lose MR from like my peripheral. I'm freaking out.
I can't even get down. If the gas station does not have payment,
it's not happening.
And I have to go inside, I will drive to another gas
station. Yeah, it's not happening.
I will not leave Nora in the car by herself.
No, me neither.
Yeah.
And my kid was 6. Yours is 3. Still won't.
Yeah.
Still won't. Absolutely not. I'm telling you, yesterday I went to Target with him. He's out of my peripheral. He was behind me. And I'm like, what are you? What happened? So I'm like, no way. Absolutely not. And I'm going to go inside and have a coffee. Like, I mean, you do you. Like, that's great. That's like culture and that's a whole thing. They're brought up like that. And it's just like a cultural norm. Fine. Yeah. But here?
Yeah. I do remember hiding from my mom when I was little.
I did that too.
And her anxiety.
In the clothing.
In the clothing racks and stuff. And like her anxiety. Now Nora hides from me and I feel the same anxiety. And now I can relate to my mom.
Yeah.
I tell her, I'm like, I'm so.
Oh no, same thing. And like even yesterday, he was in one of the clothing racks as I was like looking for a t-shirt for Mario. And I'm like, Mom, I'm right here. I'm right behind you. And he tells me with attitude, I'm like, hey, brat, like I need to see you. I need to see you. I don't care where you are here. Like, anyway. Yeah, it freaks me out. Anyway, next.
I think this is yours, right? Oh, whatever. Okay. All right. 3. You lose most of your body heat through your head. I actually have like a really funny story about this. I'll say it at the end. Nah. So do you actually lose your body heat from your head? What is it? The claim suggests that we lose about 40 to 50% of our body heat through our heads. You've probably heard this growing up, especially when someone insists that you wear a hat during the cold weather. While it makes intuitive sense, your head is exposed, right? So the reality is that it's, again, more complicated. So where did this originate? The myth can be tracked back to a flawed military study in the 1950s, the study that soldiers were exposed to cold temperatures while wearing survival gear that covered their bodies, but not their heads. So naturally, the results showed significant heat loss from uncovered heads of the
We're bulk recording, guys.
And it's this not is that. It's just that I'm like, I had 2 cafe con leches today.
Yeah.
And I'm having a Celsius. I am like, and the Snickers bars.
Yeah.
So I'm like speaking more like faster than what I'm actually like.
Well, your head's going faster than your mouth.
Exactly. Yeah. So, okay. Naturally, the results showed that significant heat loss from uncovered heads of the soldiers. But here's the kicker. If any part of your body is uncovered, you'll lose heat from it. So it's not just your head.
Mm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm guilty. I believed this.
I did too.
Yeah.
I did too until like very recent.
Yeah. So very recently.
Like writing this.
Yeah. You're probably like, no way.
I know. I really thought this was going to be another one. I'm like, yeah, it is. And I'm like,
nope. Yeah. So because soldiers' heads were the only uncovered parts, the study concluded that the majority of their heat loss was through their head. So, but obviously this was then interpreted and then later misinterpreted, and then the universal truth for everyone, regardless of how much your body was covered, everyone thought that you lost all your heat from your head.
Yeah.
So why did that originate? And again, just practical advice, telling people to cover their head in the cold weather is good advice, just not because your head leaks heat. It's like if it was like a broken radiator. Yeah. But the head is often left uncovered, so it can be a significant source of heat loss, but it's not because it's like this part of your
It's
only part of your body that like heat can escape
it's
from.
Not like you could wear a beanie and then be naked and then you're fine.
Exactly. Yeah. So obviously perceptual bias. So we notice sensations more strongly in our heads. Cold air hitting your face, your scalp feels more jarring, and your ears, all of that, it's just more sensitive compared to like the well-insulated like torso, right? Like a lot more fat, maybe kind of just like retaining that heat. Mm-hmm. So making it seem like your head is responsible for losing most heat. Okay.
Yeah. So is there any truth to it? And again,
yes and no.
So you can lose a good amount of heat through your head if it's the only part of your body that's exposed to the cold air, right? So in reality, the amount of heat lost from the head is proportional to its surface area. So it's not just like a particular thing about it. The head makes up about 10% of the body's surface area. So if your entire body is exposed, you're going to lose roughly 10% of your heat through your head, not 50. All right, so it's all correlated to how much of what is exposed, not just your head.
Yeah.
That being said, covering your head is important because keeping your whole body warm requires all areas, including your head.
Yeah.
So how did this myth even like become so persistent, right? To the point that we both even thought it was true. So it's simple and it's easy to remember. You lose half of your heat through your head. It's an easy thing to say and to repeat and to spread around. Cultural reinforcement. Parents have passed it down to their kids, and it's repeated in winter survival guides. So it's become just part of common wisdom at this point. And selective science. So the original study was misinterpreted and picked up by the media, which popularized the oversimplified claim. So yeah, and then some interesting tidbits about this. So breathing counts too, okay? So when you breathe, you lose some heat, especially in cold weather. So you lose heat as the warm air leaves from your lungs, which adds to that cold and then the head being exposed, you know, sensation, because, you know, it's coming up. So it's like, you know, you're starting to feel it from your throat up, all that stuff. And then nervous system, the head is rich in blood vessels and your brain is sensitive to temperature changes. So it's important to keep it warm, but again, not more than the rest of your body. Again, don't go out in a beanie naked. It's not going to do anything good. So final thought, conclusion, while it's not true that you lose the majority of your heat through your head, it's still important to cover it when you're cold. The real takeaway is to keep your whole body warm and properly insulated to maintain overall warmth.
So when I was 16, I went on my first ski trip, like ever. And it was just me and my brothers. It was just my older brother and Victor.
Yeah.
Right? So I didn't know what to wear, you know, like typical Floridian teenager. I didn't know what to wear.
Of course.
So yeah, like I had ski gear and stuff like that, but I just wore like something cute, like one of those headbands, right? That doesn't cover your whole head, just covers your ears.
Yeah.
And I did not go dressed appropriately to go skiing. And we are on the ski lift and I am freezing already. Freezing already. And then the instructor, because I guess when you go into like the mountain, we bought like this package that it had like a free 1 hour training or whatever to learn how to ski. And I already hated everything because I was like a terrible skier right off the bat. And I snowboard, right? That is way easier to me than skiing.
Uh-huh.
So my first time, obviously, they always say skiing is easier than snowboarding. So I tried skiing and it was awful, right? And so I'm already hating life. I hate the skis. I hate everything. Oh my God. Freezing my ass
off.
And I'm up on the ski lift. So we are going higher and it's just like blowing like wind on me. And I am freezing, like about to cry because of how cold I was. And the trainer is looking at me and he's like, did you bring your hat? And then I was like, no, I have this. And then he's like, yeah, well, you know, like 50% of your body leaves from your head. And I'm just looking at him and I'm like, great, great. Have anything. So I'm fucked.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm already freezing. So now I'm thinking, I'm going to freeze to death. Like, everything is just escaping. Everything that I'm retaining right now is just escaping as we speak.
Never mind, you have hair and everything.
But yeah, I mean, yeah. No, and I was freezing. Then I fell off the lift, like, when it, like, finally, like, docked or whatever. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to, like, ski off. Yeah, totally fell off. Right.
I would do that. I'm laughing because that would be me too.
Yeah, no, I totally fell off. And then from point A to just ski from the lift to the actual drop, like where you start your course, I was in so much panic that I thought that from the lift to the drop was down the mountain. So when we stopped, I was like, that was literally out loud said, that was the scariest thing I've ever done in my life.
Oh my God.
And the instructor was like, we haven't even gone down the mountain yet. And then I started crying. And I had to ski down the mountain.
I was going to ask you next. I was like,
I skied down the mountain. And then my brothers were like, ready for another round. And I said, listen, I am going to take off these skis and I'm going to sit my ass down in that cabin and buy myself a hot chocolate because I am freezing and I am petrified of the mountain.
Yeah, no.
And it was like a whiteout too because it started snowing. Snap. So I couldn't see anything. I didn't know. I was like, I'm going to fly off this mountain. Like, I know I'm going to crash into a tree and I'm going to get like a brain bleed or something. Yeah. I'll never forget those words as the instructor told me. We haven't even gone down the mountain.
I have no interest in skiing because I know that I'll just be splat the whole entire time.
I actually really love, I love snowboarding. I hate skiing, but I love snowboarding. It's so much fun. When you finally get the hang of it, it takes you a couple, we don't do this every single year, right? We go on a vacation. So we have to kind of suffer through the face plants.
I'll stay in the cabin.
Yeah. I'll join you.
Yeah, I'll just chill there. Thanks. That's all good. I know what I can and can't do, and that's something I cannot do.
All right. So, okay, this one is so common. Wet hair in the cold weather will get you sick. Okay. So the myth claims that if you go outside with wet hair when it's cold, then you're most likely to get sick, even if typically catching like cold or flu. But this often is portrayed as a common knowledge or advice from worried parents. Again, where did this come from? The belief likely stems from observations made from more modern medicine because people used to notice that illnesses like cold and flu were more common in the winter. So they assume that cold weather itself or being cold in some way, like wet hair, made you sick. It could also be cultural. In the 1800s and early 1900s, before we fully understood germs and the miasma theory,
so the idea that bad air causes diseases.
Who's ever heard of the miasma theory?
Fucking 1800s thing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, in the 1800s and 1900s, they had this thing called the miasma theory, which I never knew about. So it's the idea that it's old, quote unquote, bad air caused disease.
It's like how they used to like pretty much drain people out of their fucking blood. Yeah. They did that was like bad blood or whatever.
Yeah.
Like
bloodletting.
Exactly. Bloodletting. That's the word.
Yeah. So whatever. There was some miasma theory that was really popular back then. And then they didn't understand germs, right? And then they understood this miasma theory for some reason. It was popular, right? Being cold was thought to make your body like vulnerable to these bad airs. It's so crazy.
Again, bloodletting. How is that?
I guess they just observed, right? Like, exactly. I can't even blame them because it's just pure observation.
Pure observation, and then like you coming up with a reason.
Exactly.
Like not something. Even it's there's no basis really other than your observation.
Yeah. So why did it originate? The idea that wet hair and cold weather leads to the illness likely originated from misunderstanding what actually causes cold and flu viruses. During the colder months, more people stay indoors. Again, kind of like what we said with common cold and how it kind of like spread. But during the colder months, people stay indoors. They create environments where viruses can just like rapidly spread. And then combining that with poor heating, cramped conditions, lack of knowledge about germs, and see why people mistakenly linked cold weather as getting sick. And then, so if you have wet hair, then you're automatically, you must be cold.
Exactly.
Right? Exactly. And then, so you're going to get sick.
But then again, like if you have wet hair or you're just wet, period, and you're out in the cold, it's going to feel colder.
Exactly.
So then they related that.
So now I think you're making it worse.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So why did it become a myth? You know, like that correlation, again, like what we're saying, like observation, the correlation between colder weather and increased sickness is there, right? And then the causes were just misunderstood. It's till today, in this age, it is still misunderstood because I can never hear the end of it. Oh my God. My aunt almost had a heart attack when I did Nora's hair in a braid that was like semi-wet.
Oh, I could only imagine.
Sleep. She was like, but her hair's wet. Yeah. She's going to put her to sleep like that? And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, my mom, so I'm 35 years old, and she sees me go to bed, like, with my hair wet. And she's like, how could you do that? You're going to get a cold. I'm like, I'm not going down this road.
Yeah, I'm not being it.
It's not happening. I'm going to sleep with it wet because I am exhausted. And that's and a little bit more. Right now. That's a little bit more important right now than having this conversation with you. No, and then again, when my husband and I, when we went to our honeymoon up in, it was Denmark, in one of these Nordic countries, there were these elderly women, okay, in their like 70s and more. Mm-hmm. And just for shits and gigs, every Saturday or Sunday or whatever, they would go into the frigid water, okay, of the Baltic Sea. It was winter then, okay, and they would just, and they'd take a swim.
Yeah.
It's like cold plunging, but in extreme sport.
In extreme sport, yeah.
As in swimming. And then they come out, and they're great. And these women, I mean, I was suffering from joint pain, and all that's trying to catch up with her, and she's there like, well, this was erected and not like whatever. And I'm here like, well, maybe there's some truth to this. And they're now with colds. They're the opposite. They're like they're like the epitome of health. Yeah. And they're just like, so that's the thing. Like, she is wet from head to toe, swimming in frigid water. She's great. So stay. Fantastic. So it's one of those things that I tell my mom. I'm like, then I don't know what you'd have a connection if you would have seen this woman.
Oh, yeah. She would have. I think she would have gone to rescue her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God.
I can imagine your mom.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Also, so like generational, like passing down of like this advice also just really solidified the myth. And then if you were told as a child, then you are likely going to believe it. And then when you are older, you are also going to repeat the same thing.
Yeah, unless you studied medicine at some point and then you're like, no.
Yeah. I Googled it.
Exactly.
So the bottom line is that cold weather or having wet hair does not cause illness. It's all because of viruses, like we had said before. And these viruses spread more easily during the winter because you're closer in contact. The cold, dry air kind of weakens those nasal passages. So it just makes you a little bit more susceptible to getting sick. And then also the lower humidity can also help the viruses survive a little bit longer as well. So technically, wet hair in cold weather can make you look comfortable, but won't get you sick.
No, that's not a virus. So then some fun facts about it. The myth is so widespread that it's been tested scientifically, okay? So we actually had scientists like test it out because of how like common it was. A 2005 study published in the British Medical Journal, okay, took two groups of people, exposed one group to cold and wet conditions, and found no difference in their likelihood of getting sick compared to the control group. So, no. In another fun twist, your body's temperature drops when you're cold, but not to a level that would weaken your immune system enough to cause an infection. And then another last little tidbit is that while wet hair and cold weather don't make you sick, they can lower your body temperature enough to make you feel sick or uncomfortable. And then this leads to a placebo effect where people believe that they're getting sick. But it's not a virus.
Yes. All right. So our last one is that alcohol warms you up in the cold weather. Okay. So this is a big myth too.
Big one.
Okay. So the myth is that alcohol can help you warm up when you're cold. Maybe you've heard someone say, take a shot of whiskey. It'll hit you, like, it'll warm you right up. And then, you know, it's been a part of cold weather folklore for centuries, especially in colder regions.
Yeah.
So where did this actually come from? The belief that alcohol warms you up likely originated from physical sensation of people, how people feel after drinking. Alcohol causes your blood vessels to dilate, which expands, right? And that brings more blood and more, all of that more to the surface of your skin. And then this rush of blood obviously is going to make you feel warmer in the moment, so temporarily. And it's easy to see why people actually feel warm, right? Because it's technically true, right? Even alcohol, vasodilate,
right?
Warm, right? So historically, alcohol was often used as a remedy for cold exposure, especially in times when medical knowledge was really lacking in this area. And in some regions like Russia and Northern Europe, hard liquor became associated with surviving cold weathers, reinforcing the myth.
I feel like it still is. Like, I relate vodka, Russia.
Yeah, true. And then why did it come about? So the warmth that you feel after drinking is real, okay? But it's a little bit misleading. The alcohol dilates your blood vessels. Your body actually loses heat faster. So this is actually a big problem that we have with alcoholics because they tend to suffer from hypothermia.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you think that they'd be warm, but it's actually
but not. You're
they
losing
more. Their heat because you're vasodilating, so more surface area for you to throw off that heat.
Yeah.
So when alcohol dilates your blood vessels, you can actually lose heat faster because you're not conserving it. The warmth you feel is just the blood moving closer to your skin, but in the long run, you actually lose that body heat faster.
That core, like, important heat.
And then the myth probably stuck around because that initial feeling is really comforting and people didn't realize the long-term effects that alcohol can have on your body
heat. Exactly.
Possible reasons why it became a myth. So one reason became a widespread belief is that people confuse the sensation of warmth with actual temperature regulation. Yeah. So since alcohol makes your skin feel warmer, then many thought that it just meant that their body was warming up.
Which makes sense. I mean, if you don't understand really like how biology works at that time. Like,
I think I get it.
Of course.
Yeah. Because
of course.
I do feel that like the heat.
Yeah.
But again, it's because it's coming closer to your skin.
Yeah.
And then social drinking in colder climates help perpetuate the idea too. So drinking was often associated with getting cozy, staying indoors, and then warming up by the fire. And in reality, the fire was doing the warming, not the actual alcohol.
Exactly.
And is there any truth to it? The alcohol does not warm you up. It can actually make things worse, like we said. So this can make you more vulnerable for hypothermia. So the truth is alcohol feels like it's warming you up, but it's actually doing the opposite.
Yep. So what's the science, you know, behind all of this? This is where we get into the physiological effects. So the sensation of warmth after drinking alcohol is caused by, as she had said, the peripheral vasodilation. So it's expansion of like those blood vessels, which then goes near to the surface of skin and it expands. So this causes heat to leave your body, making you feel warm on the outside, but dropping your core body temperature, which is what you need to keep warm in those really cold moments. So in cold environments, your body usually tries to conserve heat by restricting blood flow to the skin. Vasoconstriction is still the opposite. So your body's trying to do the opposite, but alcohol is making it do what it shouldn't be doing. So keeping your core organs warm by vasoconstricting, by keeping your blood vessel like the opposite of expanded. Alcohol reverses this, leading you to be more exposed to the cold. And then an interesting fact is that alcohol also impairs your ability to shiver, which is your body's natural response to the cold.
Yes.
Shivering helps generate heat, and without it, you lose one of your body's main tools for keeping you warm.
Yes.
Additionally, alcohol affects judgment, so you may not realize how cold you actually are, which is why intoxicated people are at higher risk for cold-related injuries like frostbite or hypothermia. In conclusion, alcohol is a bad idea if you're trying to stay warm. It tricks you into thinking that you're warm or that you're warming up, but it's actually making you colder. So next time, just pass on it and think about this.
Yes. And that was our part three of debunking winter related.
For us, it's not really winter, but for many people, it is.
Exactly. We can still continue to drink out in the cold.
Yep.
In our cold.
Yeah.
Quote,
I mean, I was just saying yesterday, like seeing that the weather now is 75 at night, that's fall for
so
us.
So nice, yeah.
That's,
and in the mornings, it wakes,
you know, it's in the high 70s, low 80s, and that is so nice. That's fall.
I know. That is fall for us.
That's fall for
people us. People wear Uggs here in that weather.
100%. I had posted something about that in Threads of like, at 8 a.m. it being 79 or 80 degrees is our version of the fall. And people were like, that's our summer. Yeah. And people up north, I'm like, that's our fall.
Yeah.
Sorry,
not sorry.
Don't know what to tell you, but this is cool for us.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh god. But anyway, thank you guys for tuning in. Check out our patreon.com/funnymedicinepodcast where you'll find over 60 full episodes that are exclusively available for you subscribers. And you'd also be helping us out continuous. So check us out there. Check out our merch. We have new stuff out there. I just posted up a new hat. I'll be posting that on our socials. Also, check out all our socials. We're everywhere. And there's also totes. So there's that. So t-shirts, there's hoodies. Talking about the cold. Bundle up with a hoodie from ours. and a hat.
Perfect.
You know, I don't have a beanie yet. I could work on it. But I do have a hat. And mugs and a whole bunch of stuff. So check out our merch. It's the link to all of this is in anywhere you're watching or listening to. And yeah, we'll see you on the next one. Thanks for tuning in.
Bye.
Bye.
Like, comment, review us on all streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, etc.
Check us out on Instagram and TikTok at Funny Medicine Podcast. Our Gmail is funnymedicine305@gmail.com. And remember, we are not diagnosing you.
Definitely not. Just funny stuff.
See you later, guys.